Gav's Goodens with Gavin Andrew on Vitalize Radio.
If you have been waiting for this chat, then you're about to wait no longer. It is Vitalize's version of Meghan versus Oprah. This is Gavin versus Anthony, and it's coming to Vitalize Radio just now.
And now, time for this week's big interview with Gavin Andrew.
Okay, you are listening to Vitalize Radio, and this is Gav's Goodens, and I'm Gavin Andrew. And on line three this evening, we have the man that is Anthony Hunt. Good evening, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I compare myself to Piers Morgan this evening, or Oprah Winfrey. I'm not sure which one we're going to go with.
I preferred Oprah, I have to say, although I'm not as glamorous as Meghan, so I can't compete there.
Well, that's slightly disappointing, to be fair. I mean, what a really sad way to start. For anyone that's just joined us, you are listening to Vitalize Radio. I'm Gavin Andrew, and on line three currently we have Anthony Hunt. Anthony, for anyone that's just joined us, I wonder if you could just do me a favour and just explain to them exactly who you are.
Well, I'm a local councillor in Pantech Ward, which covers Griffithstown, Sebastopol. I'm also the leader of the local council, and we provide everything from community and neighbourhood services like refuse collection, roads, parks, to the big services like schools, social care, housing, and other issues via registered social landlords in our communities. So it's a very varied job. Everything from helping out in the community and helping people with casework, people who are having problems, to try and do our best to run those services.
Is it a demanding job?
It's no 2 days are the same. It can be frustrating sometimes. You know, some of the politics frustrates me a little bit sometimes. And sometimes when you can't do what you'd like to do, it's very frustrating. You know, there are many things I'd love to do it as a council, but just aren't possible for money or other reasons. So that can be frustrating at times, but it's very rewarding. I get to help people, which I like doing. I get to try and do my best to make a difference as part of the community that we've talked about. And I get to try and speak up for some of the forgotten services that local government's responsible for. It's not that, you're never going to make a West Wing style, blockbuster television program out of local government. It's not glamorous like some parts of politics are, but what it is vital as part of our communities.
So what's the best part of your job then?
It's that contact with people, really. I can't claim that I can solve every problem that someone comes to me with, but I can do my best. I've always liked representing people ever since I was sort of younger and I was sad enough to be elected to the school council, that kind of thing. I've always liked sticking up for people and trying to make a difference.
So what school did you go to when you were elected as school council?
It was one of my high schools, that was back in the day. I wasn't a local one because I wasn't living locally at the time.
Okay, so is that the school that's to blame?
I don't know. I don't know what's to blame, really. I always had an interest in sort of injustice and trying to make a difference. And I was always interested in, politics from that perspective, really, not from a particularly partisan perspective. Yeah. When I was younger, one of my mum's friends was very sort of political, and she introduced me to some sort of books and stuff like that I read, that really got me interested in the political side of things, and I guess the two things combined.
So let's talk about your hair then. I mean, is it just getting longer because of COVID, or is this a look you're going for?
I don't know. COVID's a good excuse.
COVID's a good excuse.
You know, I can get the wife to chop the sides off, but I'm a bit sort of scared about tapping the top because it's got so long now. But it's just a sign of how long lockdown's been going on for, the longer my hair gets. So
If it goes on for another year, you can have like a whole side part in. You're going to be like Rapunzel, I think.
That's it.
Okay. Well, maybe you could go for the COVID cut if all else fails.
Yeah, see which charity I can raise money shaving off for, eh?
There's always a good thing. So I've been asking people for questions, and the questions have come. Okay, sadly, there have been a couple that I've had to get rid of because I think that maybe they were a little offensive, or and that was my choice to get rid of them, not yours. I just don't think the need to ask you silly questions, but I think questions from the community are equally important. Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So, I think though, what we will do before we answer some of these questions is have a chat with you about COVID, and you know, any updates you've got for us, anything that would affect Torvine, I guess.
Yeah, it's been some really encouraging news in sort of the last few weeks. So our rate now is down to 46.8 per 100,000. It is, as of today, at a positivity rate of 4.4%, which if you compare it to the peak at the beginning of the year, we were around 830 cases per 100,000, and the positivity rate was around 30%. So we've come a long way thanks to the hard work and the sacrifices of so many people sticking to the rules. So that's great news. The vaccinations are great news as well. Nearly a million people have had their first dose in Wales now. And that's been a great story of teamwork, getting those people through in such a short period of time, and hopefully many more to come.
Absolutely, yeah. What a fantastic, actually, positive difference that has been in just a short space of time.
Yeah, it's everyone chipping in, really, from the health workers to GP surgeries. Torvine Leisure Trust have been fantastic with their facilities at Cwmbran and Pontypool Active Living Centre, really playing a part there, both with their facilities and a helping hand, people to greet and to help people through the experience. The armed forces have helped out. There's been volunteers helping out. Council staff have helped out. When it started snowing one morning when we had vaccinations due in, we got the wagons round and made sure it was all cleared out and ready to use. It's been a real good team effort, and it shows what we can do, I think, when we all work together.
Absolutely. And that, I think we said this before, actually. Have I spoken to you since, or was it about a year ago that we spoke last?
Yeah, I think it was lockdown one, wasn't it? So it's not far off a year ago.
Yeah.
It's been out of a year.
It has been a year, to be fair, hasn't it? But it's gone very quick, even though it's been quite traumatic for everyone.
Yeah, it's the longest year I've ever been through, and the quickest in some respects as well. It's certainly, hopefully, will remain unique as a year.
Yeah, actually, yeah. So vaccinations, where are we with them now? I mean, who are they currently vaccinating? I can't speak now, sorry.
It's around just under 32% of the Welsh population have had their first vaccine. Okay. They're currently working through what they call Priority Group 6, which is people who have underlying health conditions, and also Priority Groups 7 and 5, which are people between the ages of 60 and 69, and they're slowly moving down those age groups now. So soon they'll be doing people in their 50s, and then further down the age groups as we go. They're hoping to get everyone over 50 or with an underlying health condition done, I think, by the end of April. So they're really making great progress.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know that when I spoke to you last time, we were chatting about the food bank and the resource in Pantake House.
Yeah. That's been absolutely fantastic. It's helped so many people. And there are facilities like that all around Torvine. We've been working with 10 different sort of food share schemes, along with the Eastern Valley Food Bank, and to help keep that flow of food going. We're working with a company called Fair Share Cymru, or a charity called Fair Share Cymru, who get sort of bulk food deliveries in, and we've been getting them out to those 10 centres to help people going, because we know this virus has put a lot of people in a tight spot, either because of health reasons or because of having to self-isolate or take time off work and things like that. So that support has been invaluable to people, I think.
Yeah. If people wanted to get involved, could they?
Yeah, there's volunteers in all those groups. I'm more than happy to post out on my Facebook a reminder of where the groups are and who they are. And they're always looking for people to lend a hand. The community response has been fantastic, I have to say. There's been people coming forward, all the time to help out. There's also other local groups around you that are worth checking out. For example, in Griff, we've got the Grifftown Coronavirus Support Group, which has been helping doing food deliveries and things for people, or just keeping an eye out or speaking to people on the phone for approaching a year now. They've done a fantastic job, and it's a real credit to the community spirit we have here.
Which is exactly the silver lining, isn't it, to the year that we've had?
Yeah, it's both that, I think. That's the things that encouraged me most about the pandemic. It's that sense of community, and also the sense of our public services adapting so well to the challenge. People who work in those public services, you know, from the council to health services to emergency services, all that, those people have chipped in, as have people who do other jobs that have been so key. You know, people working in care homes, people driving the buses, people working in shops, people working in factories. The contributions that everyone's made has been fantastic, really, and has really shown the best of our community.
So I know, I'm not after details, okay? I know that you've got children. I'm assuming they're school age?
Yeah, both. One's primary school, one's secondary school age, yeah.
Okay. How is teaching from home going for you?
It's an interesting experience. My oldest son is very calm and has been getting on with his work. West Mon, I have to say, have done a fantastic job in doing distance learning for them. My youngest son likes to do his maths, certainly. He's a bit of a maths wizard. So keeping up with him is usually the challenge there. He goes to Griff Primary, and they've been fantastic in doing things. He was cooking Welsh cakes for St David's Day last week, so I got to eat them, so that was my favourite lesson.
Oh, that was going to be my next question. What was your favourite lesson?
I always like history at school, but yeah, I don't mind a bit of maths and English as well, but certainly lessons where you get to eat the homework are certainly a good thing.
That's but always a bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, it's you know, it has been difficult for parents as well, I realise that, and for teachers to adapt to teaching in an entirely different way, but you know, most of all I just feel for the kids, really, because they do miss the social side of school. I don't know how far they must run around in the playground at break times and stuff like that. It's that bit, seeing their friends, that I think they really missed. It's, yeah.
A top tip for that is you could turn your front room into the playground and get them to just run around there if you want.
A giant hamster wheel, that's what I need to get.
That's what you need, yeah. What's the subject you don't like teaching then?
I don't think I'd be a very good art teacher. Or judging by the previous, by the gazoo round, I don't think I'd be a very good music teacher either.
Yeah. Let's hope the gazoos aren't on the curriculum, shall we? Okay, so COVID's going all right. I mean, it's not brilliant, but we're just making the best of a really bad situation almost, aren't we?
That's it, isn't it? It's a horribly cruel virus. You know, that's the frustrating thing about it. The sacrifices that people have had to endure for a long time now.
Yeah.
People who can't visit their relatives in care homes. You know, I really miss my parents. I've not seen them since the summer. You know, the kids out of schools, businesses that have had real sort of ambitious plans but have been forced to put them on hold or worse because of this. That's the, you know, it really is a cruel virus. It's robbed us of the social interaction we all value so much.
Okay, now we have a list of questions, okay, and firstly I need to apologise to the listeners because obviously they did come with names on, but through transcribing them and stuff I've kind of taken the names out, so we're not kind of, you know, focusing on that. We're focusing on the questions and the answers really rather than the person who sent the question in. Does that make sense? Okay, and I mean, there are themes that run through the questions, to be fair, but we'll just kind of go through them and we'll just go, you know, we'll go with that. And obviously, if there's any extra that we can put in, we'll put in as we go. Is that okay?
Yeah, nice one.
Okay, cool. Okay, so the first question actually is, could you ask? So this is me asking, why only one light on Green Hill Road is switched off? Apparently, it's under appeal. What does this mean and how can it be changed?
Okay, yeah. One of the lights on Green Hill Road, which is one of the main part of the main road that goes to the top of Griff, that's been out about 10 years ago now. The council turned some of the lights off to try and save energy.
Yeah.
And we've been slowly trying to replace them with low energy lighting to try and get more lights on, but the same energy consumption, so to speak. The appeal that's gone in is what happens is if a light's been intentionally switched off, Usually what will happen, not to take you a step back, is I'll get a complaint the light's not on. Sometimes that's because it's faulty, in which case I can try and chase it up and get a fault ticket issued and get it repaired. Sometimes it's the light itself, sometimes it's the cabling underground. Other times it's because the light's been intentionally switched off, and I think that's the case with this one. So what I've done is I've put in an appeal to try and have it switched on, and that gives us a chance to make our case about why that light is important to be switched on.
So
in that case, it's because of the situation on a fairly busy road, on a bend of a road. But of course, they have to weigh that up against other lights that other people might want switched on. So it's not an easy one, but I put in an appeal on that one because I think that's a good case of a light that should be switched on.
So the person that sent the question, I believe it was the same person, apologies if it wasn't, has said that they believe with the light being out, it's very dangerous in the area that it's in, because there are older residents living there. There are frontline workers living there. I've obviously preceded this down a little bit. It's very dark. In fact, it's pitch black. And recently there have been reports of people in the garden and intruders. So I guess, go on, sorry.
Some of those reasons are the reasons why I agreed to put the appeal in.
Yeah.
Obviously, lots of people would argue that outside their houses too, but I think this being on a main road is why it's a particularly good case. They've tried to keep lights on, for example, next to junctions or where paths come out onto roads and things like that as well, to try and keep it as safe as possible.
Yeah. Okay, we just need to. So we're basically telling them they just need to wait for the appeal. Is that right?
Yeah, and I'll keep on the case. I'll keep chasing that one up every week until I hear back from the appeal. Hopefully, they'll get so sick of me in the department, they'll just say yes. That's usually my nagging strategy.
Okay, so with regards to the, I think this person has probably contacted you before as well. I think about this light, if I'm honest. With regards to the appeal and the result, how will they be made aware of the answer? Will the light just go back on, or will you go back to them and say this is what's happening?
Usually I would get a response back.
Okay.
It's not unheard of for the light to magically appear on and then I get a response back a few days later, but as soon as I hear anything, I'll let the people who are interested know, and I'll put something up on my social media to say what the situation is too.
Okay, we'll leave that one there then, and obviously we'll watch this space to see what happens. Okay, second question. Well, actually, that was one massive one, wasn't it? So the next one is, what can be done about speeding cars on main roads?
Yeah, it's something that worries me as a local parent as well. Too many people are using, our local area as too much of a racetrack, and, it's not a good thing. So I think other than the point of education, and convincing people about why this shouldn't happen, you have to have a bit of enforcement, and also a look to design about how you can design roads that are less likely to be sped around. But it's certainly a worry, because cars going round too quick round our residential streets isn't a good thing from a safety point of view.
Absolutely. And to be fair, we could probably use the example of Green Hill Road again. It's just Green Hill Road onto Sunnybank, isn't it? It is just like a race course sometimes.
Yeah, I think people from just about any residential area would say the same thing. I don't know whether lockdown has brought more of the racer types out. I don't know, but it's certainly not a good thing with cars speeding around so close to houses where children live and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I mean, when does it stop? When somebody sadly would get killed, or what can we do?
Certainly, I'm always on to the police, and that's one of the concerns I voice to them. To be fair, they've got community safety and speed initiatives. I know speed cameras aren't always popular in themselves, but that has to be one tool. But hopefully people would listen to the concerns of other people and think before going too fast, especially on residential streets.
Absolutely. Because obviously, that child could equally be someone's cousin, someone's sister, someone's mother, brother, someone's family member, basically. What about some kind of initiative with local schools again? You know, I think they did that when I was in school. I'm not sure.
Yeah, schools have done a lot of road safety things, and they've also done things on other issues that are sort of community bugbears, like littering, fly tipping, and stuff like that. I think certainly educating the young people will certainly be a good way to police some of their relatives that they don't go too fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's move on, and we'll watch this space. Obviously, I know you're not a miracle worker. You can only do what you can do at the end of the day. You can only do your best, actually, is what you've already said, and I think that's right. So the next question, why are there so many houses being built on green spaces but no extra schools, services or road improvements?
The issue of housing is always a difficult one. I mean, I've had my bugbears over the years with, for example, the South Sebastopol development, which I, you know, was never in favour of, but it's here now. And there is always a demand for new housing. And without building any new housing, you exacerbate the already, you know, huge shortage of housing that there is, especially more affordable housing.
Yeah.
So striking the balance is always going to be a difficult one, but I completely understand why people are loath to see greenfields going. I mean, one of the big brownfield sites at Mamilid is out for consultation. That's the kind of area I think we should look to try and build on first. In terms of the infrastructure and the services, the roads is a difficult situation because we're a very sort of tightly packed valley for roads, so it's more difficult to expand them than it would be in other areas. In terms of schools, we spent a lot of money on our school, the state, to provide more provision and to provide better provision. Our schools, that the physical condition of our schools now compared to 20 years ago is night and day, and so I hope that makes a difference for all, you know, residents, whether they're in a new house or an older house too.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a couple of issues there, isn't there, straight away. So talking about schools, I mean, you are right, schools are in amazing condition actually compared to how they were 20 years ago, right? Absolutely, 100%. You know, and there's so many new schools that have been built locally, which is fantastic, but they're not big enough.
Well, the balance with school places, of course, is if you have too many spaces, there's vacancies in schools, and that is, you know, isn't the best way to spend money. So you have to sort of get the balance right there. We've, you know, built, for example, in this ward, there's you know, school Panteg as well as Griffithstown Primary, and there's you know, obviously secondary schools around the place as well. And it's trying to get that balance right, because there's no sort of point building schools that are sort of half full.
But do you think this question is kind of like saying, you know, we've built all these new houses, they're going to bring all these new people, all these families, where are all these children going to go?
Well, quite often it's children that are displaced from other houses as well because of our overcrowding issues and other issues, so it might not create as many new pupils as expected, but certainly we have to keep an eye on it, because you can't have a situation where there's houses without the educational provision for the children to go.
So would you, if necessary, do you think they would build more schools?
Well, certainly with any development over a certain size would need to come with educational provision attached to it.
Okay.
Whether that would be an expansion of existing schools or new schools, but that would depend on the case. For example, Mamilid would have to come with some form of new school provision, because it couldn't just all fit into the nearest schools.
Yeah, because I mean, that would be quite large if Mamilid went, wouldn't it, really, I think?
Yeah, depending on how many houses they went to put on there, it certainly could be.
So, I mean, obviously, one thing that was amazing about Cwmbran, Pontypool, was, in fact, all the green spaces. What about the wildlife that's on those green spaces?
We've still got, you know, beautiful green spaces around, you know, our communities. We shouldn't take away from that. Whilst, you know, we may have, you know, concerns about, you know, the ones that are getting built on, you know, you're certainly right, we need to have a, you know, a proper environmental strategy to make sure there's habitats for wildlife, and, you know, that we don't, you know, cut down too many trees, that we replant trees and things like that, because, you know, the climate crisis isn't going to go away. I think a lot of the attention's gone from it because of the last 12 months and COVID, but that's certainly something that we need to do to make sure that, that we act sustainably for the future.
Okay. I've just had a question come in, actually, as we've been chatting, so I'm going to try and read that to you now. You can either think about it and we'll come back to it, or if you want to answer it straight away, that's up to you, okay? So the question says, can you ask the leader if he thinks work experience matters in being an effective councillor, and can he give listeners a brief summary of his relevant experience?
You know, I think it's important that in the council we have a broad range of different experiences, and it's not just work, it's life as a whole.
Yeah.
I think that's key. We need to have people of all different perspectives. Mm-hmm. You know, older, younger, we need men, we need women, we need people of minority groups, and we need people who've worked in all different sort of sectors of the economy as well. I think that's important. In terms of my experience, I've worked at all levels of government. I've worked in Parliament, I've worked in Whitehall departments, I've worked in the Welsh Assembly, I've done other jobs. I did, you know, sort of name your other jobs, from delivery driver to shop worker to pub worker, all sorts of different things in my life, and that's given me a range of different perspectives. I think it's important that as a local politician you speak to lots of different people, and not just people who are politically active, because you'll get a different perspective on things there. And so I think that is important. What I do think is the danger of that sort of approach in that question is that assumes that someone can know it all, and they can't. Just because you've got one particular perspective doesn't mean you know it all. And I think we all have to remember that we're a council of 44 members, and they've all got different perspectives. I think it's a danger when everyone comes from one particular background that you sort of have groupthink. But I think we've got a good range of people on the council with different perspective and different backgrounds, so that certainly helps to make better decisions, I think.
Yeah, and I think with 44 different people with 44 different experiences, you've got lots and lots of different skills there coming together, haven't you?
Yeah, and we've got more younger people than we did now. We've got, you know, more women than before, which is a good thing, because I think that leads to better decision making, because they have different life experiences to bring into decisions. I think that's a good thing. We just have to get away from this idea that there's a certain type of person that knows it all, because none of us do. Yeah. And we all need to listen to each other's perspectives and try and listen to what each other are saying. And there's too much in politics now, as there is in society as a whole, especially with social media, just people shouting at each other.
Yeah.
And not looking to understand each other. I think it's much more important that we try and understand each other, because someone may disagree with me on an issue. I need to find...
We have had some technical problem.
We're sorry about this. Let me stop you right there.
Now we return you to the test card and some music.
We appear to be experiencing technical difficulties. Please bear with us. Technical difficulties? Nah. It's just this week's big interview with Gavin Andrew.
We're back. Wait a sec. Did we ever leave?
This is Vitalize Radio.
So I think we excited the system a little bit then, and just got to those questions, and we actually had a power cut here in St. Hilda's Community Hall. So everything went down. So we left Anthony Hunt, just go home for 5 minutes, and we're going to give him a call back in just a second, and we can continue with these questions, and there's still quite a few, so hopefully we'll be able to continue with that with him.
And now, time for this week's big interview with Gavin Andrew.
Okay, you'll be pleased to know that we are back here at Vitalize Radio. I'm Gavin Andrew. This is Gav's Good Uns. And on line three, currently, we have Anthony Hunt. He's back with us to answer a few more questions that you've put to him. So bear with us and we'll just cross back. Oh, that was the chair, not my bones, I'm just saying. Okay, Anthony, we're back with you. Are you okay?
Yeah, good, thanks.
So, I know you don't live very far away from the studio. I'm not going to give you your address, so don't panic about that. Did you just have a power cut?
Yeah, I think the light's just flickered, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, so at least you know I wasn't lying. I just wondered, as the leader of the council, could you sort that out for me or not?
Yeah, I think that might be might be the power company, but yeah.
No? Yeah. So I'm guessing that cloak isn't that effective just yet.
We had a couple today, I think. Someone just said they'd have them in Cardiff as well, so it's obviously a widespread thing. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't live very far away from you either, I think you know that, but the lights have been flickering on and off, haven't they, all day, so...
Yeah.
There we are. Right, okay, let's go back to these questions, shall we?
Great.
Are you ready?
Yep, ready when you are.
Good. Okay, here we go. I feel like we need that tense music again. It's like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Okay, can the leader commit to looking into the lack of consultation in relation to the LDP, specifically the circus site and the Grange site? There is a little bit more to this, although that is the question. Surely COVID means the consultation wouldn't reach everyone, and any traffic surveys would be flawed because of the hugely decreased level of traffic. What is your response to that?
Okay, I'll make sure I voice those concerns to planning colleagues. Obviously, the LDP process is a very it's a local development plan process, for people who don't know the acronym, is a very sort of thorough process of trying to go from a point of view of looking at what the planning needs are likely to be over the next period of time. And yeah, public consultation is an important part of that. So certainly that's a comment that I'll take back to the council offices.
Does the leader understand the huge impact on biodiversity and the huge risk of flooding when the woodlands are decimated? Now, we did touch briefly on this earlier, but what was your thoughts on that?
I'm obviously aware of the impact when trees are removed and when grassland and other areas that help soak up water are removed on flooding. If there's a specific area that the person's concerned about, they're welcome to get in touch either with myself or with anyone else at the council, and we can certainly look into that.
Okay. Obviously, we asked earlier about the cabinet reshuffles mm-hmm. and the changes of some of those. And that's actually, I think, as it went down the electric, I said to you, is it jack of all trades, master of none? Wasn't it? That's where we were at?
Yeah, that's about it, yeah.
What was your response to that, sorry?
Well, obviously, there's a balance to get, isn't there, between you want some continuity with people who've been in those roles a long time, but you, sometimes you also need sort of fresh eyes. It's important to remember the difference between a cabinet member for an area and a chief officer. The chief officer's there to deliver the operational service. The cabinet member's there to provide a form of oversight and strategic direction for that service. So it's not like you're getting rid of it's not like the sort of the American civil service when there's a change of president. You're not getting rid of everyone underneath them. You're just getting rid of the cabinet member, like with national government. The permanent sort of civil servants in that department, who are the ones with the technical expertise, remain. So it's a balancing act between, you know, getting fresh perspectives in and fresh ideas in sometimes, and keeping that continuity of knowledge about the area.
Okay, now I think you did say some of that earlier, now you've said it again, I remember. I'm thinking just before the electric went down, somebody must have heard that, because they messaged back, does fresh eyes cover the leader position too?
Well, certainly, you know, I don't think it's healthy to be the leader of a council for 40 years. You know, so, you know, come that perspective as well. But, you know, you can get different, you know, fresh eyes in all sorts of ways. So, you know, certainly I think it's up to me as leader to make sure that I keep that sort of team fresh as well as knowledgeable. And it's a balancing act.
Okay. Going on going, continuing that actually about you being the leader, if you don't mind. Somebody's messaged, I'd like to ask him where he's from originally and why he moved to Torvine.
Well, I moved to Torvine because I worked a bit in Torvine and I love the place. You know, the part of Griffithstown I lived in particularly, I'd always liked. I've got many friends here from the past. So at the time I was living in Cardiff, so I decided to move up, what was it, it's about 14 years ago now, to Torvine, and I've loved it ever since. You know, we've since had the two children, and we've really made a sort of a home for ourselves here. I love the fact that I'm in an area where I've got, you know, facilities on my doorstep, like, not at the moment, but somewhere to go and socialise. Sports, you know, teams, and yeah, I'm also on the, you know, quite close to the border of some beautiful natural areas as well. I love riding my bike, so I never really liked living in the middle of a city in Cardiff because you'd have to ride sort of 5 miles before you were out in the countryside. I don't have to do that here, and I love the different sort of landscapes that we have, and the strength of our community here. So I love living here, and you know, I've never felt as at home anywhere before in my life, I have to say.
So the person wanted to know, obviously, who you were and where you were from and being our leader. So just to clarify then, are you from Cardiff?
Well, I've moved around lots of places in my life. I grew up actually in Stevenage. My parents moved there for work when I was younger. So hence my mixed accent, shall we say. So I grew up in, yeah, Stevenage, which is a new town like Cwmbran. Okay. I spent a bit of time there before I moved back to Wales when I was 17.
So, and then you moved, and then you lived in Cardiff for a while?
Yep.
So I also grew up in Cardiff, to be fair, and that's one thing that attracted me to Cwmbran and Pontypool. Firstly was my wife, but secondly was actually the open green spaces that we were talking about earlier. Let's see what we make of this one. Do you agree with no opt-out for parents with a new RSE sex education currently being debated in Welsh Government? Surely this removes the right of the parent to have some say in what their children are taught, particularly for those with religious beliefs.
Well, I think there's still being debated exactly what this entails within the Welsh Government. Whether I agree with it or not depends on, I guess, what comes down from Welsh Government. I certainly think, again, it's another one of these balancing acts where, on the one hand, you've got that sort of right, but on the other hand, there are issues like healthy relationships and stuff like that I think children need to learn about at an appropriate age. So it's, you know, it's always going to be a balancing act between those two competing interests, really.
I just want to clarify, that might be it. We might have done those questions. How are you feeling?
Grilled. Well grilled.
Do you know, I remember chatting with you last year, and one of the things we said was next time you chat, hopefully we can meet face to face.
Didn't happen. Certainly next time.
Next time?
Yeah.
There's going to be a next time, is that what you're saying?
Whatever you want, yeah. I'll try and brush up on my kazoo songs next time so I don't get caught out.
Absolutely, maybe we could do a duet.
I don't know. I had to brush up my kazoo playing then as well, wouldn't I? I could do a bit of harmonica, but my wife doesn't like that very much, so
I'm not sure my wife likes the kazoo, but hey ho, it's just how life goes. Right, I asked you earlier, pre-start of the biggest interview of 2021 on Vitalize Radio, what was a song that we could play or you could dedicate to somebody? Is that right?
Indeed. Yeah.
And I mean, there are so many songs you could have chose. That's right, isn't there?
Indeed.
And to be fair, you really shocked me with the song that you chose. So I did have it ready. I've got it. I did have it ready, but obviously the power cut has lost it. But I found it again, so it's okay. Would you like to, as a final thought, in fact, I'll just do that in a second, in a final thought, tell us why you've chose this song, and then I'll play it for you. But that's going to be your final feature. But before we do that, I just want to thank you for all your time this evening. I think we've answered, or you've answered, all the questions that have been put to you. Hopefully people have had their minds put at ease a little bit, and they think, actually, do you know what? He's answered the question. I think you've answered the questions really well. Stayed calm, and yeah, hats off to you. Is there any final thoughts from you, first of all?
No, I'd just like to, you know, thank everyone. I know this hasn't been an easy time. I know it's been difficult for many people, and there's been lots of frustrations this year. But I'd just like to thank everyone for the way they played a part, either through their work or through part of the community, and in, you know, helping us get through what have been very difficult times. And I hope there's much better times around the corner.
Absolutely. That is actually the voice of the people right now. Anthony, once again, thank you so much for your time this evening. And guys, if you are listening at home right now, he has agreed that he's coming back. So get your questions ready. Let's make the third interview a massive one, okay? I don't mind it lasting a day. Oh, sorry, I said that out loud. Okay, let's introduce your final song then, Mr. Hunt.
Well, you know, my wife and my friends are always saying that I listen to too much depressing music and very dark and obscure sort of rock music. So I thought I'd use one of my guilty pleasure tracks for this, because it's something that's a bit more uplifting and positive. And I think it's just a way to say to everyone who's been playing a part in our community during this pandemic, in work or in our community volunteering, or just keeping a lookout for each other, just to say thank you to them, and that, to remind them that there are brighter times around the corner. So my chosen song is Reach by S Club 7.
Absolutely. And I know I'm going to hit play, you're going to get Vitalize Radio playing, and you're going to be dancing in your living room right now.
So even I'll dance this one.
I knew. Thank you very much once again for your time, and it has been a pleasure, and we will get this edited down, and all the spaces and power cuts taken out, and you'll be able to re-listen to this on our podcasts very soon. But once again, thank you very much for your time, Anthony. Have a great week.
Here thank you
is your song Reach by S Club 7.
Gav's Good 'Uns with Gavin Andrew on Vitalize Radio.